Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Funk dog exclusive.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
You want to know what we say in the club?
Hey, baby.
White folks, gangsters and the thugs.
Hey, baby.
Stunting with a stack of them thugs.
Hey, baby.
Riding in the lap with a mule.
Hey, baby.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. My name's Will. Anna Hummel will be joining me in just a second. You can hear me on the Johnny B Show whenever the Tampa Bay Lightning aren't playing. the Johnny B Show, 102.5 The Bone, 8 to 10 p.m. most nights. Wednesdays, 10 to midnight. And if the Lightning are playing, then just not on. But check out my YouTube channel because I'm going to be putting up YouTube videos and podcasts and stuff. If you're not a sports fan, maybe you'll enjoy that. WillsYouTube.com, WillsPodcast.com individually. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you survived and, maybe not prospered, but maybe broke even during Hurricane Ian. That was pretty wild. It was expected to make landfall here in the Tampa Bay area, and at the last second kind of did one of those wobble things with about 24 hours to impact and unfortunately affected down south, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Port Charlotte, Northport, and even, you know, further north. I have friends up in Venice and Sarasota, and they got whomped too. It was a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type of event, and didn't go well down there. So please donate if you can to your local Red Cross or whatever charity you can trust that will help get those folks back, you know, to somewhat sense of normalcy as soon as possible. Got to say, I was without power for about 3 days, but, you know, other than that, I got through okay. I can't believe my apartment that I rent that was built in the 1920s somehow did not blow down because I expected that it would. And unfortunately, I was ill with COVID during that time too. So I doubled up on not only hurricane, but COVID, and I was prepared to die in my place all by myself, the way it should be, with an infectious disease and a force of nature combining to take me down. That is the only way that I will be taken down. I hope everybody understands that and knows that. But I managed to skirt death once again, or serious injury. There was some light damage to my building. There's the place that I live in is so just bad. Inside it's kind of nice. Like if you ever watch the YouTube videos, you go, "That's not too bad." I record out of my house. It's not too bad. But if you look on the outside, it's pretty scary looking. And they put a bunch of money into this place to kind of make it rentable, and it is. But man, it's got black mold in it. It's got there was some flash metal that kind of came off the wood around the garage door, the truss or something, and it's completely rotted. I'm pretty sure this place is only held together by muscle memory. And out of that rotted piece of wood, there is a snake skin head. Where a snake was up there and shedded its skin up there. So it's a very freaky image, and I came out to that. So that's the only death, I think, that is involved here in this building. My next-door neighbors are okay. There's nobody living in the front house. The house across the street from me is, I believe, still without power. But, man, they really did a great job and got everybody back online pretty quick. Duke Energy and I know they had a convoy ready to go for that. Now they're probably, you know, back down south. And I'm sure there's some people probably even in this listening area that is probably still affected. So, you know, Tampa Bay dodged a bullet again. It got lucky again. And you feel like it's only a matter of time. But also, I mean, it's been pretty good here. 100 years plus now. And there's the legend of the Tokobago, which have... the legend states that the elder of that tribe put a blessing on the land due to the burial grounds that are on multiple parts of the county here in Pinellas, from St. Pete all the way up to Palm Harbor, Safety Harbor. They go all along the coast, and the legend states that the land is blessed to protect from hurricanes. And boy, you know, I put out a meme with mission accomplished, George W. Bush. Remember when he was on the aircraft carrier and he gave the thumbs up afterwards after saying that we won the war on terror and then we fought it for 17 more years and we're still fighting it now? And the track that was down at Fort Myers, and I was like, I hope nobody takes offense to this, and I know probably somebody did, but all I meant by that was that the Tokobaga seemed to steer it away from the Tampa Bay area, and unfortunately when it steers it away from one area, it ends up in another area, and that ended up being Southwest Florida and Fort Myers area. So I just, you know, those people are my thoughts. And if you have the means, you know, it's a tough time right now as we are on the verge of nuclear war and inflation and whatever, and people are just trying to stay alive as it is. But if you can, you know, go find a charity that you trust and, you know, help get our friends down south back up on their feet. Anyway, I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more about Hurricane Ian. I got to get Anna Hummel in here. This program is actually live on Wednesdays around 4:30. Between 5:30 is when it starts. There's no real set time, but Anna always changes it. But it's on YouTube. And if you go over to willsyoutube.com, click the bell, subscribe, you'll get notified when Anna and I go live. And then you can listen to this portion that you're about to hear live. You can interact And that's a lot of fun. Some people are mean. Some people are nice. Some people are indifferent. So you can type your comments there. If it's mean, though, I'm just gonna ban you. I'm a firm believer in gatekeeping. So yeah, you'll be banned if you're mean. So just be prepared for that. But as long as you're not too mean. I mean, if you're really just vile, then you get. If it's just like, oh, that's rude, I could take that. And you can of course always get a hold of us on text message, voicemail, 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. You can leave a message there, and I'll get back to you, or perhaps read your text, or play your message, even perhaps on the show. And then, of course, you can interact with us during the live stream in the chat. So encourage you to do that. Without further ado, let's get into the program this week, and here's Anna Hummel. Let's talk to her. Thank you. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, good. I can hear you. Everything's going well. Doing a good job today. Anna, how was your storm experience?
pretty good because it was a non-event for much of Tampa Bay. You know, there was some carnage. There were some branches that fell. There were some chairs that fell over. But for the most part, we managed to get through it.
No loss. Did you lose power or anything? Nothing like that?
It flickered for 1 second and then came right back on.
Wow. Well, you got lucky. I was without power for about 3 days here at my house. Some slight cosmetic damage around here, but honestly, this place is such a nightmare. I live in the Haunted Mansion, so you can't even really tell, to be frank. I had COVID during the storm, which was an interesting combo of a life-threatening... Well, I don't know if it's life. It's life-threatening for some, this illness, and a life-threatening storm combining at one time to try to take me down. And it managed to not do either, so I did survive. I was pretty much sick the whole time. It was weird during the storm. Like, it took a long time for everything to kind of happen to finally get the ball rolling, and then it moved so slow, it seemed, that it took a long time to pass. And I felt like I was living like a pirate. I was just shirtless with shorts on, no shoes, and just drinking at like noon and just kept it going. And I slept most of it. I took advantage of the COVID and managed to get a lot of sleep during that time. I think I was only awake for the actual storm coming through for about 4 or 5 hours that whole day. I just slept the rest of the time. There was one point where... You know, you start to go stir crazy at a certain point because you're just locked in the house. There's not much to do, and there's no power, you know. And I see my neighbor. I'm actually sitting at this window that's over here. It's kind of located in the kitchen area. My house is very small.
It's a box.
Yeah, so it's located in the kitchen area over there somewhere. And I'm just sitting on a bar stool, just like drunk. And just, I have my head kind of on the sink, and I'm just looking at outside at the wind and the rain. And I see my neighbor upstairs. It's a lady who lives by herself across. She's probably about my age. And I see her kind of in her house with a flashlight, kind of just flashing it around, looking around. And then I see her go to her window, and she's kind of shining it outside. It's probably like 10 o'clock at night. And she's just looking around, and then eventually she moseys over and stops on me. She could probably see me in my home shirtless, just like near the sink with my hand on my head. And for some reason, I think it was probably just being drunk. I didn't even like think to wave. So I'm just like, I have a spotlight on me and I'm just not moving. And she's holding it there for like 10 seconds, like kind of probably waiting for me to go, hey, or something. And I just didn't. So it probably scared her, I would imagine, because it's just some man nude, you know, sitting, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And then she kind of just pulled the spotlight away. And then I haven't spoken to her since. So I'm going to have to figure out how to address that with her next time I do see her.
So you drank your way through COVID?
I drank my way through COVID and the hurricane. Like a pirate.
Like a pirate.
Bourbon does have, you know, antibacterial, antiviral properties.
Okay, Dr. Koontz, thank you.
It does. Look it up. Next. It's not me saying it.
Next. Thank you, Dr. Koontz. Thank you.
It's one of the unique liquors that actually, vodka doesn't do it. It's either whiskey or bourbon that actually has these effects. So, is it more beneficial than not? Probably not. However, is it a good drug to kind of make you forget about things? And maybe have some antiviral properties to it at the same time.
I mean, you could say like cyanide has antiviral properties. I wouldn't advise.
Well, cyanide will kill you. If I take cyanide, it'll kill me. If I drink a little booze, I'll just have a headache the next day.
Yeah, which maybe isn't the best thing when you're trying to get better from COVID. But proceed.
I mean, I didn't have power. I didn't, like, what else do you do? Yeah, I don't
you
smoke.
Stay at someone's house who had power?
No, because I had COVID.
I understand, but I mean, like, who cares, right?
I mean, you'd be surprised, Anna, but a lot of people care.
Okay,
so,
all right. I was thinking maybe a family member could let you stay in a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Maybe come into the garage and
yeah,
keep distance and have power as a sick person.
Well, so when the storm was initially forecasted to head into Tampa Bay, I was like, I can't stay in this building because it's going to crumble.
No,
so,
you would die, and not from COVID.
Yeah, so my father, he's very well prepared. He's a actual male, adult male, so he prepares for these things. He knows what he's doing. He's got a generator. He's, like, good to go. And he was almost, I wouldn't say excited about the prospect of this, but he was prepared. For it, you know, like,
well, I think that prepared people are excited because they really get a flex, right? Well, so when everyone else is like, I don't have power, and he's got three generators, he's yeah. like, oh, well, I had power because I had a generator and I had plenty of food because I was prepared. I'm like, you're dumbass.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, this is what I prepared for, and now it's actually happened. I don't feel like I wasted my time because it's actually happening now. Mm-hmm.
Right. So everyone thinks you're paranoid until you're prepared, you know?
That's right. So he was like, look, just come over here. And I'm like, well, and at this point, I didn't know that I actually had maybe had COVID. I suspected, I was pretty sure that I had. I go, well, I'm going to test tomorrow. This was Tuesday. Now, I'd been sick all weekend Monday. So I said, I'll test, and then hopefully I'm, you know, good to go by Tuesday, and then I'll head over in the morning. And I was going to pack up, you know, whatever valuables I have is essentially this board, this camera, and this microphone. That's really the only valuables that I own. So I was going to pack that up and just head over there. And then the rest of the stuff can burn. I don't care. So I ended up testing positive in the morning. So I was like, crap. And that's when it did the wobble. It did the wobble, and now it wasn't going to hit. So he goes, look, just come over. And he goes, tell his wife, he said, just say you tested negative. Because it's just easier this way. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. Like that, I don't want to be put in a position to lie like that. And then it was, you know, if it was coming here, then yes, I would have went there. But it wasn't, you know, and I figured it really wasn't going to be that big of a deal. I mean, I figured I was going to have your experience where it didn't really, you know, do much of anything. Unfortunately, I did lose power, but it's certainly a lot worse in other areas. So I was going to do it, but now that it did that wobble, I was like, I'll just stay here and suffer in silence alone. And he wasn't very happy with me, but I'm kind of glad I did it now in retrospect. Like, it's weird that even though my stance on this disease is kind of like, it's just here now, it's going to be something I'm going to get once a year because that's what's happening. I don't want to, if I know that I have it, I don't want to give it to anybody. So I kind of wish I didn't even test. Because then I wouldn't have known for sure.
It's the burden of knowledge. I feel like we talked about this before.
Totally.
And even if you had, like, the flu, you still don't knowingly having the flu or just being sick and feeling unwell. You don't want to make somebody else feel unwell.
Right.
You know?
Just at a
courtesy.
You
just don't want any blood on your hands. I get that. Like, if you're going to get sick, fine. But I don't want to be the one that made you sick.
And it would be something that they would know. They were like, well, you had, obviously you were ill. It wasn't, I didn't pick it up in a grocery store. You came over here and you had an illness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't feel right about it. And so I didn't do it. But, I mean, if it would have been, like I said, if it would have been ripping through Tampa Bay, I would have just done it and they would have had to understand. But,
yeah, you know, would have had to at that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I get, like, I get her apprehension because she's immunocompromised. So, you know, she gets it. It might affect her harder.
Old?
She has a neurological disease. I don't know I don't know what the HIPAA laws are as far as, but yeah, she's got.
What does it rhyme with?
Parkinson's disease. She has Parkinson's disease. Yeah.
That was easy to get out of you.
Yeah. Well, I figured you would figure it out, but then you, you know, didn't. So I'm sure it's fine. You know,
no, I did figure it out when he said Parkinson.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I started laughing.
Okay.
It wasn't that I was confused.
I see.
I started laughing because it was such a dead giveaway that it really, you would have violated all the laws anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was hoping you would notice, my new accessory.
Now, your camera isn't the best, and also my monitor isn't best. My monitor is only 720p. I can't really tell. Your face looks very shiny, but it always kind of does have a shine to it. Oh, you got a black eye there.
Yes, I have a black eye.
Oh, my God. How did that happen?
I walked into a door by accident.
Do I need to call the police? Are you in danger? Tap your foot 3 times if you're in danger.
I fell down the stairs.
Oh, Lord. So you're pregnant, too, when this happened. Great.
I did a jiu-jitsu last night. Karate, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got punched in the face?
I know this sounds literally insane. I don't know how. Because there's a lot of movement when you're grappling with somebody. A lot of hands are flying. A lot of elbows are flying. I've been, like, you know, pushed and prodded and kind of, like, somewhat hit even with an elbow. It happens all the time, you know, unexpectedly or, you know, because you're not supposed to elbow people in jiu-jitsu, but sometimes it happens. You're close. You're trying to scramble, whatever. I don't even remember the move. It just seemed like a regular roll. I did probably about 4 or 5 of them. And then the last one I had was with this girl. And she looks at me and she goes, your eye, it looks bad. And I go, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't remember, like, being, like, kicked or anything. You know, you'd remember if there was a lot of, like, impact right here. I remember. So I'm like, no. I'm like, I'll check it out after, no problem. She's like, all right, well, just letting you know. It looks pretty swollen. I'm like, okay. Totally forget about it. I have a conversation with this other chick for, like, an hour. No one tells me anything. And I get home, about to get in the shower, finally look at my face, and I got myself a nice shiner.
It's pretty cool.
Right there.
It's kind of, yeah. It's pretty badass, really.
But here's the thing. It's really only badass for men. Because on a guy, it looks cool. On a girl, it looks like, question. It's not, does it look cool? We're assuming that someone did this to her and it was probably a man. So I realize that it's, because in my mind, black eyes are cool. But that's because I go to jiu-jitsu a lot and you see people with black eyes all the time. But when you go out into the population, having a black eye is pretty unusual. I mean, sometimes you get some looks, and especially as a woman, you know, it's kind of like that stereotypical domestic injury that's often sustained from women that are taking abuse at home, which is fun for me because I'm very excited to spend some time with my boyfriend this weekend, and we will walk around, and every time he just reaches for his wallet, I'll go,
Yeah, it's not too unusual to see a white woman with black eyes anymore. I mean, it's 2022. It's fairly normal. There's a lot of activity that these people are involved in together, such as jiu-jitsu or karate or whatever. I mean, I think that's pretty normal. So, well, good. I think it still looks cool. I think you look tough. Okay. I think it even looks better because you didn't know that it happened. So that probably impressed people in your class because they're like, yo, yeah, I busted my eye up. And I don't even feel it. I don't even know.
I don't even know who, like, I wanted to blame it on a, not even just a move, but like a person, right? Like, oh, this must have happened during my role with Elizabeth. Like, I don't even know who gave this to me. I assume it was a particular girl because she is pretty rough, but I don't know for sure. So I have no idea. I don't know what the move was or anything. And it didn't hurt when it happened. It doesn't hurt now. But it just looks pretty cool.
That's fantastic. You got to get a picture. If you still were on social media, that should be your new default pic online of you with the black eye holding your karate belt or whatever that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I almost gave somebody a black eye over, as I was without power and internet for 3 days, and it just so happens that there is a lot of young people who are coming out of college with degrees that are useless, or so we thought. They've managed to create jobs for themselves as diversity officers, equity chairmen in these major corporations, and they mandate that you take this sort of training. Diversity training, sexual harassment training, combined, a lot of different things. Now, these are useless and a waste of time because you have to have a handicap in your brain to not understand what discrimination is or what sexual harassment is. Even the people that do discriminate and sexually harass women or men too know that it's wrong. They just don't care, and they take the risk and do it anyways. But it's not because they don't know what it is. It's not like they need to be educated on these things. I had to take not one, but two. I have two jobs One at a radio broadcasting corporation, and the other, I work from home at a financial corporation.
Or you interact with, like, nobody.
Nobody. But I still have to take this course because it's mandated by law, because these people from prestigious organizations and institutions have lobbied governments and made them mandatory. So it was very frustrating because, like I said, it's a total waste of time. You have to be handicapped in your brain to not know what discrimination is or sexual harassment.
And let me give you hate minorities.
Let me give you an example of one of these things. So they explained to you what discrimination was in one through a flash animation. And it started out with, hey, this is Juan. Juan is a great employee. He's got 5-star reviews. He's killing it. Everybody loves Juan. He sees this job that he wants to apply for. He applies for it. Then his white dickhead boss goes, I don't want Juan working here because he's Mexican. And then they go, do you think? And then they prompt you on the screen, is this an example of discrimination? I wanted to throw my computer out the window. I mean, obviously, yes. And the white boss knows what he's doing. He's just choosing to do it anyways. It's like, I can't imagine anybody seeing this video and going, wow, this was a wake-up call. I had no idea that what I was doing was wrong. And I'm going to change my behavior and become a better person today now that I've seen this video. Like, that's not a thing. It doesn't exist. And it gets, I wouldn't say worse necessarily, but the next video from the other job that I had to take was sexual harassment. And it was a lady with a very short haircut, grayish hair, and a very buff African-American person of color. And the lady was the boss, and the guy was the employee, and they were having their annual review. They sat down, and he says, listen, I'd really like to talk to you about my raise. Because you said you'd speak to me about it, and I feel like now this is a good time since we're at the annual review. And she goes, yeah, you know, I don't think it's a good place in time right now. But I'll tell you what, why don't we go across the street, get some drinks, and maybe you can convince me to kind of give you a raise type of thing. And then he's like, whoa, he's kind of taken aback. And then they asked me, is this an example of sexual harassment? Yes. Everybody knows. Yes. First of all, I was surprised that she was into men. Just by the looks of her, I know that's judging a book by its cover, but I was surprised. And the rage that this caused me, not because, I mean, obviously I'm not a fan of sexual harassment or discrimination, okay? Let me put that out there in case anybody thinks otherwise. I don't like that. But it's insulting my intelligence to have to take these exams, which that is very offensive to me. It's a total waste. You don't have to take these, I'm sure. We're at your workplace.
Do you know my bosses?
Well, yes, that's what I assume that probably not, but you never know.
That is, my boss is also the HR department, okay? Same person, same department. So no, we don't have to do any of that BS.
You know what would be funny is you should hidden camera, like, suggest it. Be like, hey, I think it would be a really good idea to get, like, some sort of training for discrimination, diversity, equity.
When he would start yelling racial epithets towards me. So,
well, hey, that might not be a bad tape to have just in case. That's all I'm saying. Like,
he really hasn't been on the good side of, like, hidden cameras and surveillance tapes. He has it's a sensitive spot for him to be recorded, you know.
Yeah.
In an amateur fashion. Understand what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying for your, like, it's something that you could stick in your back pocket in case things go sour. That's all.
Oh, blackmail. Yeah. Right.
Yes, exactly. It's always good to have some tape. I almost ended my relationship over this because I got a phone call from my significant.
The one you have now?
Yeah. And I was so irritated by this insult of my intelligence and having to suffer not one but two of these straight in a row. And you're on a timer, right? So I called her earlier. She didn't answer. She called me back. And it started out as kind of like a fun conversation. Like I go, hey, Juan's Mexican and wants a job, but the white guy doesn't want to give it to him. Is that discrimination? Please, I want a timer. I need your help. And then she kind of laughed that off. And then it turned into, like, I think she thought that I was just saying, like, this doesn't happen. It's nonsense. And like, no. I get that it does happen. I just think that this training is not going to steer anybody in the right direction as far as being a better human being. That's my only point here.
Really ineffective, right?
Ineffective, nonsense, and just fake jobs. Like these, I'm looking at the credits of these videos, and they're badly done. Number one, they're not good quality, and they're probably paid $100,000 a year to do these videos and then update them. You know, I'll go get a new one. We'll get instead of a white lady surprisingly likes men, we'll get Asian guy, and then we'll get Hawaiian lady, and we'll do the same situation. We'll just reshoot it. See what I'm saying? And they just make jobs for themselves, and they have to update it, and you have to buy, these corporations will have to buy version 2 for the updated recommendations, you see? So it's just frustrating on many fronts because not only is it useless, but it's fake. And they're just, I do like a scam. I will say that, like, I appreciate the scam, the scamminess of it and hustling these corporations out of money. But also it's just, I just can't stand, like, I have to suffer for it. If I have to suffer because of your scam, then it's no longer fun. It should not involve me, but I'm all for you profiting from these people. Comment?
I think it's dumb. I know that I have had to take some training courses, but it wasn't so much for me. It wasn't like standard practice for me. It was more like punishment, and then became standard practice for everybody else that I left on the team.
When you got in trouble for your incident with what did we call that? Epilepsy
hurricane
gate?
Epilepsy.
Hurricane epilepsy. Oh, interesting. We're going through hurricane talk today. It's all coming full circle. You had to take trainings?
Yes, I had to take sensitivity training courses.
And you still, that didn't work. So you had to take the class and then you were still terminated.
No, hurricane epilepsy, was in 2019. I had to make a public apology. I make private apologies. I was suspended for a week. I had to take sensitivity training courses. I had weekly meetings with my former boss, your current boss, John Brennan, for 6 months weekly just to keep tabs on me. And I was spared. But the following year,
oh.
I tweet. There's so many incidents where sometimes they all seem to blend together.
Yes.
And part of the reason why I was fired, in my estimation, is the fact that I didn't learn from the first mistake that I made and that they had to do all this sort of stuff and they really stuck their neck out to try to save me. And they felt that I was, that I couldn't be rehabilitated, I guess. You know what I mean? I'm just that junkie and you could give me the money, you could send me to rehab, but I'm just going to go get high with my friends. My first opportunity can't save me. Some people are just lost causes. So they got to, you know, they had to cut the cord on me, which, as from a corporation standpoint, I completely understand. I wasn't built for corporate life. I never was, you know.
Yeah.
I was basically transgender. I was trying to be a man when inside I felt like a woman, or the other way around, whatever. I'm a baby. And I was trying to force myself to live the life of my assigned gender, and I am not that. I could never work in corporate America, but I was trying to force myself to because I didn't think there was any other way.
It's weird because what can get you, like the straw that breaks a camel's back type of situation, and I think it really depends on the need of the company at that time. Like, you could get away with a lot more if they need you. Because they just can't manage to let you. There's a guy at the Bone who admitted on air that, do you know Dizzy?
Gareth?
Gareth?
Yeah, Dizzy, yeah.
So he's like on air a lot. He was with Mo at one point. I don't think he's with Mo anymore, but he's on Roger and JP, like kind of phone screens and chimes in from time to time on there. He admitted on air that little refrigerator that's in the studio, he had a Gatorade in there. And somebody one day took a sip out of it and put it back in the refrigerator. So he goes, well, this is my Gatorade. This is my property. And he claims, put his penis in the Gatorade and kind of swirled it around, put the cap back on, and put it back in the refrigerator.
He claims someone did that to his Gatorade.
He did it to his Gatorade, allegedly. Because it's his Gatorade. Now, somebody took a sip out of it and put it back. So he goes, well, this is my Gatorade still, even though somebody took a sip out of it, so I'm going to sabotage it. So he did.
So after someone opened it, took a sip out of it, he's like, this is mine. Now I'm going to put my penis in it and stir it around.
Correct. That's what he's claiming. Now, it was pretty explicit, but he kind of backed off and said, well, I was just kidding. You know, but it probably sounds like he probably did that. Now, he put it back in the fridge. The next day, the Gatorade's gone, which means, I guess, that somebody took it and drank it. Now, the speculation, we still don't know who it was. Some people have claimed it is me. It is definitely not me. Number one, I have seltzers that I bring in the studio. That's my drink, okay? I bring in six packs of them, so I always have something to drink in there. Number two, I have Honor. I don't take anybody's stuff, so definitely was not me. But that is a felony, okay? That is a sex crime. He should probably be on a sex offender registry list by that admission.
Really?
I think so. I mean, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Now, he didn't...
It's yours?
I mean, yeah. There's definitely some gray area there, but you still can't, like, put your genitals in food, and then even if it's your property, technically. I don't think you're allowed to.
What if it was, is it the fact that it's on, like, not in your house? Because, I mean...
It's not in his house. I don't know, maybe... I don't know what the law is, Anna, but I could tell you that you can't do that. I know for a fact that you can't do that, okay? Because that means somebody drank. Like, it's a safety issue. There's so many. It opens a company up to a lawsuit.
Don't drink other people's stuff.
Agreed.
If he was messing with somebody else's food, got it. But
I agree.
If it's his own.
But perhaps it was just a misunderstanding where it wasn't malicious. Like, the person just thought it was theirs. Like, oh, I also brought in this color Gatorade. It was just a misunderstanding, and now they got PP. Up in their stuff now, but he is still working. He's still working at the Bone. So I mean, I guess
it's theater of the mind.
Yeah. Well, I think there's at least plausible deniability. Look, I don't know. I just know that they would be very. I'm threatening to kill people on air. So and they don't fire me either because they need me. And of course I'm kidding when I say this. I mean, I am very angry, but also I'm not going to kill anybody. That's just, it's a joke.
No.
That's just kind of, you know, when you're on the radio, you kind of try to spice it up a little bit. You do some, you dipped in, you
sometimes
sauce.
You spice it up too much.
Sometimes you spice it up too much and found the line. I think that I'm okay, but also, you know, Johnny was like, we did a segment last night. He's like, I don't know, man. You probably shouldn't have said some of that stuff. I go, yeah, probably not. But
would you like to tell me what you said?
I just threatened to kill people.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a whole to do. I am angry about a lot of stuff there, but
as long as it's not a hate crime, I don't think that there's a problem.
Oh no, it's white people. I'm gonna kill white people.
But I mean that's kind of it, whatever. Yeah, it's a hate crime, but it's a hate crime that nobody cares about. So you're good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, it's mostly in jest, but then like I've heard, but it just depends on like where you're at on the spectrum. Like if you did something and then you also threatened to kill people shortly after, I might be gone. If I were in Dizzy's shoes and I did that and then threatened to kill people, I'd probably just, they'd be like, all right, I gotta let you go. But right now I'm building the bar, and I'm clicking my, finding where my level is, and then I say something wild, and then you just let it calm down a little
bit.
You let it calm down, and then eventually your bar goes back down.
Yeah, well, if you were in Dizzy's shoes, they'd probably be like, hey, stop that!
That's right. Yeah, he's very, very tall, or very short, I mean. But, you know, hey, listen, I'm here for it. I think it was a good time. I enjoy working for a company that allows me to threaten management, their lives and their livelihood. I think that's fun, and I appreciate
that. Don't make a tweet.
No, you don't tweet it. You don't tweet it.
Corporate America does not like Twitter.
I
stay away from it.
I tell you, I don't tweet anymore. I tweet out the podcast stuff. Maybe you talk about the Buccaneers from time to time, but I write stuff sometimes and I go, nope, not doing it. And then I save it for the air instead, because there's, when you say something on air, now I guess people could re-listen to it later or something and then rewind it. But when you tweet something, it's there and you're scrolling by. And then people kind of disregard it and they go, wait a minute, what was this? And then they scroll back up and then it's right there. They could screenshot it, or they can start thinking about it. Like, what do they mean by this exactly? And there's no tone. There's no sort of, nonverbal communication, no winks or anything that would kind of allow you to kind of say that this is a joke. So you can really get yourself in trouble. So no, I don't tweet anything anymore. And it's a shame, because I feel like the little bit of a name that I do have at the bone is because of my tweets. And unfortunately, I can't tweet anymore because it's just not worth it. And I really learned from you, because I think, honestly,
I'm an educator.
I said something when you got fired and you said you should tweet that. And I said, no way. And then you said, I'm going to. And I said, OK, you do it. So, listen, better you than me. I don't really know what to say. It's unfortunate.
Hey, thanks for the creative idea that sparked the tweet. I definitely put a little bit of my own flair on it added impact, I guess. And yeah, that's really the one that did me in. But grateful, hashtag grateful. I don't want to, I mean, you have limitations everywhere, right? You can't just go on a podcast and start yelling the N-word. Like, not that I want to, but still, that's like a restriction. It's not like we live in a completely free society. And even if we did, it doesn't mean that we're free of consequences, which is what the discussion is always about. And there are certainly limitations on the platforms that we talk that I'm with Bubba on. So like YouTube, Facebook, they have rules and regulations. The FCC rules and regulations, Twitch rules and regulations. Oh, there's a lot of overlap, but some of them are like very unique in what they find offensive or, you know, not appropriate for their platform, whatever. But for the most part, I feel like we can pretty much dance around any issue, and we can kind of have any stance that we want on the program. And that to me is invaluable, because I'll be very honest, and you don't have to co-sign on any of this because you still work there, but I remember this is, and also I am bad at following directions apparently. I remember my boss, John Brennan, calling me, and I assume, maybe he didn't, but assume that he called everybody, all the personalities, when the situation with George Floyd went down. And he kind of gave us a, hey, this is the stance of our station. You know, and not like there was a lot of room for criticism of what went down. It's not like anyone was like, Derek Chauvin's a hero. Like, no one was saying that. Conservatives were appalled. Liberals were appalled. Whites and blacks. Everybody was appalled by what happened. But, you know, they really try to drive it home like there's really no room for discussion, even if fentanyl's found in his system or he was a bad guy and tried to kill a pregnant woman at gunpoint. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, this is our stance. Make sure you stay on brand. And I said, okay. And then I tweeted what I tweeted.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was also fired because of my inability to follow directions, which is fair. That's fair. But, you know, I do feel like, and I obviously am not part of that community anymore, so I don't know. I'm not getting company emails. But I do feel like the the hands around the neck of this real raw radio is getting tighter and tighter and tighter in terms of like what you can say. It's like you can say whatever you want as long as you say the like vaccines are good or whatever. You know, I'm trying to not get a fan, but whatever. Like as long as you have this stance, you can say whatever you want. It's like, well, that's really not freedom of thought or freedom of speech or freedom of a voice or whatever you want to call it. So I feel like with Bubba, for me, there's just a lot more freedom to kind of explore topics and not feel like someone is behind my back, you know, getting mad at me or threatening to fire me, micromanage me. So
I got to say, you know, there's a few people that listen to the show that I'm on that call in and claim that we are totally controlled and, you know, we're told what we can and can't say. And that's really not true at all. I think that during that time in when the riots were going on and stuff, it was just like, just don't press any buttons. And there was
kind of
like
kind of a form of control of like, look, we're going to use, I'm just using myself, use Anna as an example. Look what happened to her. Do you really want to ruffle some feathers? And everyone just kind of keeps in line.
Yeah.
Even though you're not explicitly told something, it doesn't mean that there isn't pressure for you to think and voice your opinion in a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, your situation's much different. And I think corporations, you're right, they do kind of have a, it's just being, you know, responsible and sensitive to not go buck wild at certain points. And that was definitely one of those flash points where, I mean, like places were on fire. People were looting.
Yeah.
And we tried to avoid it, just the whole thing as much as possible, but we weren't told what to say or anything, or you know, that's never been the case. And I don't know. I mean, like maybe if you said it on air as a joke and then it was kind of, you know, laughed and people could get the tone, maybe it would have been different. But I think it's just where it sits on social media like that and people can go back to it and then be like, what did you mean by this? And and then they can just start misconstruing and dissecting and taking their own meaning out of it. It's just kind of a, I mean, I've gotten in trouble for things that I've said. People have been mad at me. There was, I remember there was one time that we were talking on Stay Woke one night and it was, we were talking about this new trend at the time that people were trying to push, and it was asking to shake somebody's hand at like a business meeting or something like, oh, can I shake your hand? And then they would say, yeah, and give consent, and then they would shake hands. And I said, I remember my exact words were, I would think that you had autism if you asked me that. Like, it wasn't malicious. It was just like, I would think that there was something wrong. Yeah, you were on the spectrum. Maybe not something wrong, but you were on the spectrum. And I'd be like, oh, sure. And I'd kind of play along. And there was a guy who messaged me that was very upset because he thought I was insulting people that are on the spectrum. And that was not the case. That was not my intention. And I think if you went back and listened and didn't have emotional response to it, you'd be like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Well, no, he has autism. So he didn't know it wasn't a joke because he's not getting
no,
social.
Tweet. Well, because I remember I looked because I was like, this is totally unreasonable. Like you're being insane here. And then I looked. And what it was is he has a child that has autism and he's got autism awareness. So he's extra sensitive about this stuff. So it got misconstrued. Yeah. He took what I said and he took his own meaning from it and took it as an insult, which was not the case. That's just not that's totally insane. But that's the way he took it. And that's what he ran with. And he cussed me out, you know, called me every name in the book. And, you know, there's not much you can do. I just went, okay, and I blocked you. And I haven't seen him since and heard from him since. And, you know, I don't know if this person still hates my guts for that reason. I would hope not. But we're in a very irrational time period in human history. I guess it always was the case. But now you just have, you know, you said something in passing or on air and it kind of goes away into the ether. And now, you know, people are putting every thought, even if it's a thought that's early in its infancy and kind of maybe developing, and maybe you frame it more of as a question or something, but you put it out there and it's just not fully formed and people can go, what did you mean by that? What the hell is this? You're done. Boom. You're fired from your job. And I think it's calming down a little bit, but I think it's only calming down because people are like, oh, you can't do that. Like you can't speak your mind on Twitter or you get fired. So just
is it calming down?
I think it is to a certain extent. But I think it's just because people aren't tweeting like they used to. Like, I'm telling you, I don't put jokes out there anymore that are slightly on the edge or could be taken a certain way. I tweet about the Bucks and I tweet about the podcast. That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of sucks, but also that's like, I get it. Like, this is the time we live in. I work for a corporation. I'd like to keep working at this corporation. And, yeah. You know, this is what I have to do. And it's really not that big of a sacrifice. I'm kind of with you as far as getting off of these platforms as much as I can. I'm not successful at it, but trying.
Because here's the thing, and I know that you said this, we've referenced Tyler, the creator, about, you know, these kids that are killing themselves because they're online, they're getting harassed. It's like, turn the computer off. You know, it's like, I'm getting all the bombarded by news or by Facebook, Instagram, people upset with what I said. I'm not on it. There's no harassment. Nobody cares. I'm not engaging with anybody. All these people that are messaging, used to message me and maybe still do, but I'm not checking. You know, and it's really funny because I've kind of had this, like, I don't want to use come to Jesus moment, but that's kind of what it feels like of, okay, you know, we were kind of told that in order to grow your audience and your listenership, you need to be on social media, you need to be interacting with your fans. And to some degree, that's to all the degrees, that's very true. But to me, I was like, at what expense, right? Like, it was rotting my brain. It, you know, I'm speaking purely for myself. Everybody can do whatever the hell they want. I don't care. But for me, it was rotting my brain. I found it to be very addictive. Like, I was on Instagram all the time, constantly just like this idle thumb, just checking. Even when there was nothing new, even when it didn't even bring me any, like, quote, joy. Like, it's kind of fun when you first wake up and you check and it was like, oh, I haven't checked this in a while. There'd be nothing new and I'm just constantly checking and I'm like, what's wrong with me? This doesn't bring me any joy. I feel like I am a slave to this, especially Instagram, but we could just say social media in general. Feeling like I'm a slave to this app and I can't get off it. That's not good. Like, that set off alarm bells in my head. Like, why do I feel the impulse to check it all the time? Even when I'm like at a stoplight or whatever, I'm like, pick up my phone. Why do I care so much? And it's not that I cared. It's that, like, I was addicted. I was getting like a baby bit of dopamine, checking it out, getting whatever it was. It was making me feel like I was a junkie. And I said, okay, but thankfully I have enough, you know, discipline in my habits where I go, you're done. You are done. You can't control yourself. You've tried to hide the app in a folder. It didn't work, whatever. You're done. You're not doing this anymore. You don't need to engage with every witch person that listens to the show. Who cares? I'm telling you, just from my personal experience, I live a much happier life. I feel kind of free from all this stuff. It's weird because it's like, and I know you've mentioned this too, you go on vacation or something, or you go camping for a couple days. You don't have Wi-Fi or you service, whatever. So you can't really look at your phone or do anything like that. And when you come back, you feel so refreshed, so great, but then you get back on the grid. And I'm not saying you have to go completely off the grid. There's no way to be a person with a job and be able to do that. I got to use email. I got to use whatever. But at the same time, like, try to cut those corners where you can. And if something is really, you know, affecting your day-to-day life where you feel like you're a slave to it. Like, I get my work done online and then I'm done. You know what I mean? And I'll look at videos and YouTube and try to learn things about, like, I've been trying to learn a lot about Ukraine and Russia and the history of it, right? I'm going down the Dave Smith path of, like, what everyone is yelling at Putin, why, you know, so whatever it is, whatever I'm interested in that day, from biology to history, fine. But as far as social media goes, I just feel like it was rotting my brain. So anyways, turn off the computer, like Tyler, the creator, said. If you're getting harassed online, you don't have to. You're choosing to engage in that. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're like a kid. It's a little different. You don't understand what
well, that's
the
where
wisdom
parenting comes in.
Sure,
like,
sure. But the wisdom of that statement is very profound, and it's so simple. Just turn it off,
yeah.
And it's gone. And, you know, people forget, too, because you're like, oh, my God, what's going on? If you're not there, nobody's saying
who cares?
I mean,
yeah.
It's gone. All right, we'll end it there, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, if you can, I know times are tough, but if you can, find a charity to donate to help our friends down south. Red Cross is a good one. I think. I'm not positive. I don't know. I mean, just use your discretion. That's really all I can tell you. And hopefully we can get the folks down in South Florida, Southwest Florida, back on their feet real soon. I thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. And join us on Wednesdays for the live stream and interact with the program. WillsYouTube.com. Hit the subscription button and the bell. My name is Will Koontz for Anna Hummel. I wish you all the best. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.